Welcome back to the channel. This video is a roundup of the latest news and events from the world of business and finance. I've picked out a few stories that I think are interesting and relevant, and we'll run through the details and I'll give you my view and opinion as to what I think is going on and how this impacts on the general global economy. So in today's video, we're going to look at the arrest of a prominent female Turkish journalist who's been accused of insulting the president of Turkey. We'll have a look at the latest developments with Evergrande, where there's been some changes to the board that give us a very strong indication as to what is going to happen to Evergrande over the next few months. I'll tell you about some asset disposals from a couple of the other Chinese property developers, which also indicate that everything is moving towards the government taking over all of these assets. I'll tell you about the latest spat between the US and China, which is focusing on flights between the two countries. They're now starting to cancel a lot of flights on each other's networks. We'll touch on the rising tension in Ukraine, which is causing a lot of concern on the global markets. And there's now some genuine concern that there is going to be a military conflict. And we'll talk about what the implications of that are for the global economy. And finally today, I'll tell you about the rodents that are causing a lot of concern in Hong Kong right now. So before we get into all of that, if you could give me a thumbs up at some point during this video, if you're enjoying the content, I'd really appreciate it. And please subscribe if you haven't done so already. And as always, I've included chapters in this video. So if there's a particular section that you're not that interested in, then you can easily skip on to the next one and carry on watching the video. Some concerning news from Turkey. A high-profile female journalist called Sedef Kabas was arrested at 2 a.m. on Saturday morning and has been imprisoned for allegedly insulting the president of Turkey. Now, this might sound like one of my amusing stories that I add on to the end of my videos, but unfortunately it isn't. In 2014, the president of Turkey brought in a new law that made it illegal for anybody to criticize him, and if found guilty of this offense, the charge carries a maximum prison sentence of 4 years. Now, Sedef Kabas was accused of reciting a proverb on Turkish television. And she said on national television, "There's a famous saying, a crowned head will get wiser. But we see that this isn't the reality. There's also a saying that is the exact opposite. When cattle go into a palace, they don't become the king. The palace becomes a barn." And she later followed up that statement with a tweet, which included the same proverb, although she changed the word cattle to ox in the tweet. Now, President Erdogan took great offence to this and sent the police to her house. And she was arrested at 2 a.m. and then later imprisoned and is now being held in a Turkish prison awaiting trial. Now, this action has carried a lot of outrage and upset all across the world. And unfortunately, this isn't the first time that something like this has happened in Turkey. In fact, it's quite a frequent event. Since this law was introduced in 2014, there have been over 160,000 people accused of insulting President Erdogan. There have been over 35,000 cases brought against individuals, and almost 13,000 people have been convicted of this charge. So the imprisonment of Sedef Kabas is concerning, and it's also concerning that although Turkey is a democracy, it doesn't operate on the same sort of legal structure as the rest of the Western world. And it'll be interesting to see what the reaction to this case is across the whole of Turkey. Some interesting news from Evergrande, who have announced the appointment of two new board directors and the removal of two existing board directors. And the two new directors give us a really strong indication as to what is going to be happening with Evergrande over the course of 2022. So just to recap on the latest situation with regards to the board, the Risk Management Committee was appointed in December, and the Risk Management Committee is made up of 9 members. Now, 6 of those members are government officials, and 3 have been appointed from Evergrande. So essentially, 2/3 of the management team of Evergrande are now state officials, which is why I've been reporting for some time that Evergrande has been unofficially nationalised, because the majority of their management team are coming from the government, and therefore any decisions that they make and any strategic moves will be aligned with what the government wants it to do rather than being a purely commercial decision. The first new appointment is Liang Senlin, who is the chairman of China Cinda Asset Management. Now, this is one of the state-backed asset management businesses. And as I reported recently, the authorities recently changed the rules to allow any state-backed entity to be able to borrow and buy assets from distressed property developers without that new debt affecting any of their tests for the three red lines. So the government has cleared the way for the state-backed entities to be able to gobble up all of the distressed assets from Evergrande and all the other property developers without it having any impact on its balance sheet or being able to meet its debt tests. And this appointment shows clearly that we're going to see the Evergrande assets being carved up and moved across to state-backed entities. China Cinda Asset Management are now obviously the front runners to take a lot of the assets. But with this new appointment, they've got somebody on the board now who is focused on asset management and has the resources available to be able to buy all of the assets. So this is a clear indication as to where Evergrande is going. It's obviously going to be broken up, and they put this guy in charge to manage the process of dishing out all of the assets. The other new board member is Siu Shaun, who's the chairman of Evergrande's electric vehicle business. Now, Evergrande made a statement at the back end of 2021 that they wanted to move away from property development and focus on electric vehicles. Now, at the time, that seemed like a ludicrous statement because the electric vehicles business had not produced a single car and was still in a state of disarray. But since then, it's raised some additional capital and it now appears to be moving forward towards production. So I think what we're seeing here is a shift for the Evergrande brand from property development to electric vehicles. I think we will see all of the assets disappear over the course of the next 6 months. And then essentially what will be left will be just the electric vehicles. And when you look at what's happening with regards to Tesla and Rivian and all the other electric vehicle company valuations, Evergrande are holding out for a massive increase in their value and hoping to achieve the astronomical valuations that are being applied to electric vehicle manufacturers right now. So really interesting development, and I will obviously keep you posted as soon as we hear any further developments on both asset disposals or the electric vehicle side from Evergrande. Staying on the theme of Chinese property developers, it's just been announced that two more developers have sold more assets. Shimao, which is the business that has moved from investment grade to default in a very short space of time, is now in the process of trying to sell all of its assets, and it's just announced another disposal. It's just disposed of some commercial land in Shanghai to the municipal government of Shanghai for a value of $170 million. So this is further evidence of the state starting to take back all of the assets that the Chinese property developers have built up over the last 10 years. Now, I don't have the details on what Shimao paid for that commercial land, but I would be very surprised if they've made any profits on it, and it is more likely that they have banked a significant loss. Another lesser-known developer called Agile has just announced that it sold a percentage stake in a mixed-use complex to a state-owned entity for $291 million. So further evidence of the fact that the Chinese authorities are buying back every single asset from these property developers, and essentially what they're doing is they're nationalizing all of the assets without having to repay any of the debt. So what's likely to happen over the course of 2022 is that all of these assets will be transferred back to the state, either at a loss or at book value, and the companies themselves will be left with nothing except for a small amount of cash. Now, that cash will be used to repay the secured lenders, who are obviously the Chinese banks. So any of these companies that have overseas bonds are very unlikely to have anything left to be able to repay those investors and lenders. So the net outcome here will be that all of the assets will remain intact, all of the buildings will get completed, but that will be done by national institutions, and all of the investors and lenders will be left with very little. We've just seen some news that the US and China have been involved in a political spat over flights between the two countries. And whilst this is a political issue, it's actually having an impact on all of the commercial airlines involved. Now, this row is all about COVID. And in China, they are operating a zero tolerance policy on COVID. So essentially, when they find one case, they lock down a whole area, close down any businesses relating to that case. So it's quite an aggressive strategy that they're following. And since the start of 2022, the Chinese authorities have cancelled 44 flights between America and China. And the reason that they're claiming for doing that is that they've found instances of passengers testing positive for COVID on those flights. And therefore, they're accusing the airlines of not having a good enough policy for stopping people flying who've got COVID. So they've now suspended 20 United Airlines flights, 40 Delta flights, and 10 American flights. So in response to this, the US have now cancelled 44 scheduled flights between China and the USA. Now, the Chinese authorities are getting quite upset about this because they're saying that they cancelled the flights for a justified reason and the US don't have a specific reason for doing so. But either way, this is bad news for the airline operators. They've been the ones who've struggled the most through the whole pandemic period. The travel sector has been hit hardest and they're now trying to put some flights back in place to try to get some profit up and running. And pre-pandemic, there were around about 100 flights a week going between the US and China. Currently, we're at around 20 per week. So we're down to about 20% of the original capacity. And that is hurting the airlines quite badly. So action like this is really not helpful for these businesses. And unfortunately, it looks like it could get worse because the Chinese are still operating their zero tolerance program. And if they find any more positive cases, then they will cancel even more scheduled flights. The situation in the Ukraine is starting to get worse and it looks like there is real potential for some form of military conflict. As I've reported before, the Russians have amassed around about 100,000 troops on the Ukraine border and the Ukraine and Russia share 700 miles of border, so it's a really big land space. And the Russians are upset because Ukraine, which was formerly part of USSR and under Russian control, are threatening to join NATO, and Russia are opposed to that because they don't want NATO to have an entry point into Russia in the event of any future military conflicts. And Russia and the Ukraine do have a lot of history, and back in 2014, Russia invaded Ukraine and annexed the Crimea. So over the last few days, we have seen the UK authorities instructing all of its diplomats to leave the Ukraine. And Joe Biden has just done the same. They've instructed all US diplomats to exit the country because if fighting does start, they can't guarantee anybody's safe exit. Now, Joe Biden also had a meeting on Saturday to discuss the US's involvement and is considering sending 5,000 troops to Eastern Europe to support Ukraine against Russia. And we're also seeing Turkey getting involved in this. And President Erdogan is supporting Ukraine. But there are obviously massive issues there because Turkey is entirely dependent on Russian gas for its heating and electricity generation. And as we discussed in a recent video, they're already struggling to be able to pay for that gas. But if their supplier falls out with them politically, then that could have really bad consequences for Turkey. So I just wanted to recap on what the potential implications of this conflict are for the global markets. Because if you've seen the stock markets, you'll see that there's a lot of nervousness right now. Some of it's caused by the Fed and interest rates and inflation, but there is definitely some direct nervousness caused by the political tension in Ukraine and the threat of a war that could draw in a lot of different nations. So military conflict is always bad news for the markets, and investment money always looks to go towards government-backed securities. So that tends to mean that stock markets fall at the time of conflict. And the reason for that is just the general level of uncertainty. Nobody really knows what might happen and what impact that could have for businesses and the economy. But over and above those general concerns, there are some specific factors to look at here. The Ukraine is the third largest exporter of grain in the world. So if there is a military conflict and that affects the ability to keep those supplies coming, it will have a direct impact on wheat prices. And wheat is used as a raw material in the production of a lot of foods. So we've already got very high food prices. We've got a lot of inflation all around the world. And if we saw an increase in wheat prices, then that's going to drive up those prices further and push inflation even higher. The other major concern here is Russia. So Russia is a massive exporter of oil and natural gas. And in fact, it provides 35% of natural gas to the whole of Europe. So we've got a lot of countries in Europe who are dependent upon Russia's supply of gas. Germany, Italy, and Turkey are the three main countries who are dependent on that fuel source. So if we do see a military conflict and Russia starts to fall out with some of these countries, then they could switch off the supply of that gas and also reduce their oil exports. Now, if they did that, that would drive up the prices of both of those fuel types and just add further to everybody's costs, because all these fuels are being used to produce electricity and everybody is dependent upon electricity. So there is a real concern here for Europe that if there's a military conflict, we could see an impact on prices all across the board that would impact everybody. So even though you may be thinking Ukraine's irrelevant to me and I don't care whether there's a war in the Ukraine, it would have a direct impact on the whole of the global economy. And finally today, I wanted to talk about rodents. Now, most people don't like rodents, and mice and rats are very unpopular, particularly if you have them in your house. But in the rodent world, there is a new public enemy number one, the hamster. Now, you may be thinking that hamsters are cute and friendly and really nice, but that's not true. That is not the case. In fact, there is an army of people in hazmat suits in Hong Kong who've been sent out to track down these dangerous predators. Now, this story actually relates to the Little Boss Pet Shop. And the Little Boss Pet Shop sells hamsters, chinchillas and rabbits. And it's been a happy, friendly place for kids and families to visit for the last few years. But recently, Little Boss Pet Shop has become the most famous pet shop in the whole world. And the reason for that is that 11 hamsters in the shop have tested positive for COVID. Now, that might sound quite concerning to you, but my biggest concern here is who's testing hamsters for COVID? We've got enough problems testing people for COVID. It's quite expensive putting these tests together. It takes quite a long time. You have to do some quite invasive things with the rod before you can finish your test. So whose idea was it to start testing hamsters? But whoever's idea it was, it's paid off because they've managed to find 11 hamsters who've now got COVID. And because they've got a zero tolerance policy for COVID in China, they have now decided to track down all of the hamsters. So the hazmat suited guys stormed the Little Boss Pet Shop and removed all of the hamsters. And they also removed all of the chinchillas and the rabbits. However, none of the chinchillas or the rabbits tested positive. And the authorities have now issued a statement advising any hamster owners not to kiss their pets and to hand over the hamsters as soon as possible. And they've been specifically told not to release their hamsters in the streets. So this throws up the question as to what is going to happen to all of these hamsters. Will all of the families simply hand over these hamsters without kissing them goodbye? Or will there be an underground movement? Will people secretly be storing hamsters? Will there be special hidden rooms in people's houses where they have their hamster runs? And people can come round and have a look at the hamsters and play with the hamsters and obviously not kiss the hamsters because that would be crazy. And the crazy thing about all of this is that there is absolutely no evidence of COVID being transmitted from animals to humans. In fact, it's most likely that the COVID got transmitted from people to the hamsters. So it's a bit of a shame for the hamsters that they've tested positive. I still don't know who is testing hamsters for COVID. What other animals they're also testing, I don't know. Obviously, they've tested chinchillas and rabbits now. But they must have a lot of staff in Hong Kong if they're now instructing people to go around testing all of these animals for COVID on a regular basis. Anyway, I thought I'd mention it today. If you've got a hamster, then make sure you're keeping it safe. If you really want to be safe, then maybe you should test your hamster. Although I'm not sure how you'll get the cotton bud up the hamster's nose. That's going to be quite tricky unless you've got a very, very small cotton bud. But I'll obviously keep you posted on any further breaking news about hamsters testing positive for COVID or chinchillas or rabbits or any other form of pets. So hopefully you've enjoyed today's video. You found it informative, useful and maybe a little bit of fun. If you've liked what I've said, then please give me a thumbs up and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already.